Another case of New World screwworm, this time in a six-day-old calf. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sue Martin joins us today. Sue, of course, with Ag and Investment out of Clarion, Iowa. And that word coming across late this morning into this early afternoon, 6 days old means that fly made it a lot farther north than many thought it had.
Well, that's true. It is kind of a concern because of that, the age of the animal being so young. But the other thing is that, you know, we've been hearing here this week, and of course, because of the holiday, Susan, it feels like this is Monday, but it's Friday. And but quite honestly, we've been hearing this week, earlier this week, concerns that the facility at the 20 miles north of the border for Mexico, U.S., was not ready yet, and that it wasn't close to ready. And then they're going to have to do testing as well. So the bottom line is, it's thought that we won't see that facility, you know, or not the facility, but the border open here this month. And I kind of believe that, because they're going to have to get it operational and then do the testing, you know, have it running for at least, I would say, several weeks, maybe even probably longer, maybe more like a month or so, because they're going to release 300 million flies, sterile flies, a week. And but it's going to take some time to try to see that there aren't any new cases south of the border and that it's pushing, because we are also sending that technology to Mexico as well to be using. So to hear that, it just confirms that we probably will not see that border open just real soon, and not even a rolling opening, I don't think.
So that kind of showed us what was happening in the way the feeder cattle market, I think, reacted to the information this morning. Now we've got a weekend to kind of digest it all.
Well, that's true. And the facts are strong, because on Wednesday, our cash market was, you know, 230 in the south, and then 230 to 232, so $1 to $2 higher, maybe even $1 to $3 higher in the north. And what we have is feedlots not wanting to pay up the price for feeder cattle. So, and with cattle in the north being thought to have been pretty well moved at the heavier weights and weights peaked and dropping, that these feedlots are going to feed cattle heavier instead of putting out the money for these high-priced feeder cattle. So I think that is also helping support the fat market, because that keeps, instead of moving them at a lighter weight and keeping them running through, it holds them up and keeps numbers a little tighter. And then, of course, you know, as we go down the road, it's going to depend on the weather forecasts and what have you as we go through the rest of winter.
So let's talk long-term outlook. I'm not going into a lot of detail, as you've got a lot of meetings that you're going to be attending to discuss this, but what are you seeing right now when we look overall market-wise?
Well, first off, it's interesting because cattle actually in 2025 outperformed the S&P 500. And I thought that even happened after we had President Trump's, you know, pivot on putting tariffs in, and then on Brazil and Argentina, and then turning around and pulling the tariffs off on Brazilian beef and, of course, Argentine beef. But the other thing is, I think as we look at cattle, a year of a six over and above a year of a five, yes, you can make higher highs in a year of a six. We've done it once since 1975. But also, we had 1 year where it was an inside range year. But the thing is, every year of a six since 1975 has actually seen a lower yearly close at the end of the year of the six cattle closed at the year of a five. So that is something to keep in mind for producers out there and feeders, because, you know, it tells you to just sort of look back, see where we closed, and then look at how high we might get. And of course, seasonally, cattle, especially feeders, but cattle tend to rally into the first week of January before they turn and slip. And I think we're running close to that. I will say I do have cycle window timing. It's a small one, but I have cycle window timing on January 6th. So I'm going to be watching next Tuesday. And as to whether we put a peak in there and then start to catch a sell-off in cattle, time will tell.
Well, lots of things that are happening that are going to weigh in on these markets moving forward. Your thoughts on export movement? If I understand right, February is when we're supposed to see those deals completed for the first marketing with China. Are we going to meet those goals that were set aside?
Well, I think we will meet the goals. You know, it's thought that last Monday, Tuesday, China had bought between 700 and 800,000 metric tons. Some assess that that brings us up to 9.5 million metric tons that they may have bought. But on the same token, I think that when we look at for example, the commitment of traders report that came out here on Wednesday, which actually brought us up through the 23rd, so very current actually, it showed, according to the CFTC report, that managed money funds had been adding 55,200 contracts, net corn contracts, over the week before, and that took them to basically a small net long position. So, and corn today, you know, started off lower and then tried to come back steady to a little firmer. But that basically did show that was a good sign for the corn market to have a start of a long position by the funds in corn. And of course, beans, as you would expect, saw producers and merchants selling 46,100 net corn contracts, and then also adding 32,500 net soybean contracts and adding in 10,900 meal contracts and 22,100 soy oil contracts. And then in the wheat, they bought 18,200. So it's kind of interesting because the corn really stood out with the funds as opposed to producers and merchants. So the producers and merchants selling the corn, I think what that is, it's a sign that the farmer hasn't moved a lot of corn. But in the meantime, they maybe are thinking about it as we roll the year over. But on the rally for beans in November, farmers did make good cash sales on beans. And I think that was a plus for them.
All right. Sue Martin joining us today with Ag and Investment on Clarion, Iowa. Quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Friday market wrap up right here on the American Ag Network.